What's up? Welcome to the Pulling on Heaven podcast with Pastor Gary Zamora. How are you, Pastor?
And Steve Bland. I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm doing really well. I'm really excited to talk about today one of something you've been touching on more and more lately, and it's just absolutely fascinated my mind, and it's really made an impact in how I go about my day and how I see my own life, and it's this idea of us being an experience for God.
Oh, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah. And again, when to wrap your head around this is just, it really is life-changing, because it changes so much, because I think so much of the time, from the concept for those of us who believe in God, who've given our lives to Jesus, but I would say anyone who believes in any form of God, whatever religion, a lot of times it's like we want God, if there is a God, we want God to be an experience for us.
Yeah, that can be the mentality sometimes.
Versus us being an experience for He who created us.
Well, and two things that I think throw people off in the regards to that idea, which is reality. If you look at the scriptures, you see it very clearly, is number one, we always have a need. You know, we just are always thinking, God, what's next for me? And listen, God is so good. He wants to bless His people. There's probably more than enough of how much God wants to bless. God will do this. God will bless you here. God will bless you there. And I mean, that should always be on the forefront of our understanding, that God wants to bless His people. He's love. God is love. He just loves. We can't understand the depth of His love. You can't. You'll never be able to wrap your mind around the love of God. But you can wrap your heart around that experience. Mm. And that's just by saying, God, Your love is so great because I'm certainly not worth it by any deeds or motives or actions in my own life. But Your love is so beyond anything that I've done that I shouldn't have or didn't do that I should have. How can You love me so much? Okay, and here's something great. When you begin to talk that way and you stay on course, don't say it one way and then change your mind another way or another time to think a different way. Stay on that track. Something incredible begins to happen in your mind. It begins to change. It begins to take on the image of that reality. God is love. And consequently, you start expressing more love. And it really is about knowing that all things were created by Him and for Him. And for His pleasure, they were and are created. So guess what? You were created to be a pleasing experience to God, okay? The other thing that throws us off is religion. Well, we're not, come on, how could we please God? Well, how could we be a pleasing experience to God? Well, hang on. He said He created all things for His purpose and for His pleasure. They were and they are created. So it's God's idea. And here's what's incredible. When you begin to take on that revelation as your reality, and you begin to say, God, do with me what You will, but let it be a pleasing experience to You. That takes a lot of the questions, and why isn't God doing this, and what's going wrong here? Because you do what you're supposed to do. You die to yourself. I mean, if there's a brick wall or a drape between mankind, it's not a devil or a demon or a sin, because Jesus put that all away.
Yeah.
It's our doubt that He loves us as much as He does, and it's our nature, within our nature, to try to self-satisfy. That's the wall. He came to give us life, not just to save life, but to give us life, and to do it more abundantly than we could do it for ourselves. So when you come down to it, He wants us to be a pleasing experience to Him. He wants us to be a pleasing experience to Himself. That's why He created us, for His purpose and His pleasure. And then He did something incredible. And this just blows my natural sense of trying to figure things out and wrap my head around in a logical way as to why things are the way they are. And that is that God gave us His word to obey. not obey like this is hard, I'll do what you said. No, but when God, if God gives you, and when God gives you his word, you're immediately responsible for the word of God. Do you know what that means? Mm. I mean, that means God gave you a piece, if you will, of his heart.
Yeah.
And said, I'm giving you this with a full intention of you fulfilling it because it's my word in you now. So you have become a part of the word that I am, Christ in you. The life I now live, I don't live by the flesh. I live in the flesh, but I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself not just for me, but gave himself to me. I had an experience with Mel Gibson. We were on a private plane not too long ago, and I wanted to share something with him because he did the movie The Passion of the Christ, mm-hmm. and they're working on some new stuff. And I said, you know what is important about the resurrection and the crucifixion? The crucifixion is Jesus giving his life for us. That's the crucifixion. That's the cross. Jesus giving his life for us in place of all the wrong that we did, giving his life for us. And without that, we're lost. But the resurrection is I said, anyone who really loves someone would probably lay their life down for them.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus did that for us.
Yeah.
I mean, there might be few people, you know, no greater love has a man than to lay his life down for a friend. But to lay your life down for someone you really love, I think most people would do that. Someone you really, really love, you'd lay your life down for your family. And Jesus did that. But only he could bear our sins, and he did that. But to be resurrected from the dead was Jesus giving his life to us.
Yeah.
Giving his life for us, redeemed us. Giving his life to us, revived us. It made us alive in him with his life. He hung on the cross and we were forgiven, but he rose from the dead and gave us of his life. And only Jesus could do that. We could maybe lay our life down for someone we love. No man, no greater love is man than to lay down his life for someone, but we couldn't give our life to someone. No. We could give our life for someone, but we couldn't give our life to someone. Jesus did both.
Yeah.
He bore our sins, which we couldn't do, and made the perfect sacrifice and wiped it away. We can't do that. Only Christ could do it. And then he rose from the dead and gave his life to us. No man can do that. No one can give their life to someone. And that's the great power. And that's what I got to share because it was important to me to say, hey, this just if I can share this experience with you. And it was fun. It was a fun time to be able to share that minute.
That's so cool. So then it obviously begs the question then, as our own lives, if that's what he did, why?
Yeah.
And what are we supposed to do with that? And what's that supposed to do in us? Is that just supposed to be, here's our ticket to heaven?
Right.
Here's this. It required that act for God to be in his punitive state, going like, okay, now I'll forgive you? Or is it about something else?
Yeah, kind of like, okay, I'll receive you. You did enough penance. No, exactly. What's the point? What's the point? On the cross, he laid down his life for you. When he rose from the grave, he gave his life to you.
Yeah.
Give his life for you, give his life to you.
You.
Only God could do it. Why? He does all things for his purpose and for his pleasure, so we could be a pleasing experience to the Father. Okay, what greater life? He gives us his word, and religion teaches you, okay, it's hard. And what is religion? It's really man's way of trying to take the place of God in one scenario, form, or another. But relationship is God relating to us. Why? So we could be a pleasing experience to God. Forget it. God, do with me whatever you will. You're going through a trial. God, whatever you want done in this, God, you be glorified. Now, it does take a level of maturity.
Yeah.
That's the call.
Yeah.
As the word said, let's leave having to repent all the time from the same thing over and over. Let's change. How often have we said, man, I wish I could change my hair color. So what do? You go buy a box of dye, get rid of the gray. You change, you feel better, you know. Some people feel better if they let it go. But it's those changes. What if we could really change into a pleasing experience for God? What if that was the plan all along? Why? So we could be in relationship with a Father and just like we have children. Why do we have children? So we can give them life? Well, yeah, but what's the real reason? We want
that experience
to enjoy the experience of having children. We want to enjoy them feeling our love. Love has to be given away or it's powerless. Yeah. It has to be shared or it's without purpose. God is love. What was the purpose? To share. Why? So he could receive a pleasing experience, a pleasing relationship with his people. The word says Jesus suffered all that he did on the cross. Why? So he would receive sons and daughters to himself. So we could be a pleasing experience to God. When you begin to think that way, a lot of the dynamics of life begin to take on a different perspective, a different body, a different mindset, and life becomes a lot more joyful, a lot easier, because you realize, hey, it's not about God pleasing me. I mean, he will, but he'll please me when I'm a pleasing experience to him, because that's your creative design. That's your purpose. Our purpose is to be a pleasing experience to God. And religion will say, well, we're not righteous or worthy enough. Nope, that's the whole point. He is. And it's no longer I that lives, it's Christ that lives in me. Do you see how we contradict the things we say? I'm born of God, I'm born of Christ. It's no longer I, but I'm not worthy enough. I'm not pleasing it. No, Christ lives within you. He pleased the Father. He is the living Word of God, and his name is called the Word of God. And he gives us that Word, and the minute he does, we're responsible to keep it. Because he loves us so much, he knows, because his Word is alive in us, and we'll do it. And when we do, we change. And when we change, we become a pleasing experience to God, because we change in the same likeness and the image that he created us to be. Not of works, least any man should boast. It's the gift of God.
It's the gift of God.
The gift of God to us is that we get to be a pleasing experience to him.
Well, and it changes the calculus then of how you go through your day.
It totally does.
Because no matter what I feel like I'm supposed to be doing, you know, for God at any given moment, no matter how anything goes, when I embrace that thing, it's not about whether I feel like I achieved whatever I thought I was supposed to achieve today.
Exactly.
It's like, where was my heart and my mind? And if I have that understanding that whatever I'm going through, as you say, our steps are ordered, then therefore I'm a pleasing experience of God. And so to complain about the experience God had me just go through, I mean, it makes me think of Jonah. And Jonah being sent to Nineveh, and all these, the entire city is going to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And just has to preach the word of repentance. So he preaches the word of repentance, and they all repent, and he's not going to be destroyed. And Jonah's like, wait, this is ridiculous. And Jonah was upset. And it was like, God could have reached Nineveh any million ways,
of course,
but he chose Jonah. And as far as Jonah's relationship, Jonah had the opportunity to be a pleasing experience to God. And I think I guess at the one point, with the fact that he actually did it, because he tried to run, right, he gets in the whale, he gets there and he actually does it, but then he goes and he gripes and he mopes about it.
Yeah.
And so it's like that whole situation could have been 180 degrees.
What a different
based
experience.
On his perspective and his attitude towards it.
The way we live life, the experience we get to have, and it, when you start thinking, God, I'm here to be a pleasing experience to you, you stop thinking about you, and guess what? You end up a lot happier. Have you ever had an issue? You're waiting for an answer, and you're hoping it's not going to be a negative answer, and maybe you were up all night, and maybe some friends or family came over, and you had lunch, and you started talking and laughing, and you forgot all about the problem, and you felt great, and then you remembered it, and the phone call comes in, and you go, yeah, oh, thank God, and it was a good answer anyway.
Yeah.
What if we could live in that brief moment of forgetting about your problem? Because you're so involved with having such a great time, being a pleasing experience to your company. What if we did that with the Father? God, I just want to be a pleasing experience to you. That's why I'm here. You do with me as you will. As Paul said, whether we live or whether we die, let's do it all as under the Lord. Have a great experience. And in that, God can give you the fullness of what he wants. You can escape a lot of trying times. You can escape a lot of misery and sadness and worry and pain, because you're not concerned about what God's going to do for you. He knows what you have need of. He'll do all. He'll take care of everything that you need. But we become the block wall, the drape, the separation between God and us by needing, wanting. I love the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't want for any good thing. Take on that attitude. Believe. Let your heart go there. Wake up in the morning. This is the greatest season of my life.
Yep.
This is the day God has made. It's filled with purpose, and I'm going to walk in it. God, what can I do to please you today? Show it to me throughout the day. That's a life of joy and peace. And that's who Christ is.
Amen. And this is the greatest season of your life, my life, your life, all of our lives, because God is always working, and every day we have that opportunity to be an experience for Him. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Steve.
Look forward to another awesome time on Pulling on Heaven podcast.
Next time.
Okay.